Hello, everyone. I'm Dominique Johnson Lindsay, and welcome to the Active Listener Podcast by Lightspeed. For the past 3 decades, Lightspeed has journeyed with educators and tech experts across school districts. With our Active Listener Podcast, we are bringing the stories and experiences of our customers, education experts, and our own team members on how listening is foundational to education. Tune in as we amplify these vital voices and understand more about the people shaping the future of education. We hope every podcast listen will be a learning opportunity with Active Listener.
Thank you so much for coming back to another episode of the Active Listener Podcast. I'm so excited to be here today recording a new episode with Patrick O'Connor, which we call Pat here. So Pat has been with Lightspeed over 17 years. Let me make sure I'm getting this right from my notes. You cover Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So with that, Pat, I would love for you to just start off by introducing yourself.
Yeah, and you're correct. I do cover those 4 states for Lightspeed. I'm account executive for Lightspeed. 17 years and counting, I think we're somewhere in that time frame. So it's been a long time. So I obviously joined Lightspeed as a very young person. And hopefully I'm aging well because I love what I do. So just interacting with the administrators and the school districts and ultimately the teaching staff for sure, but the kids. And last week, I had a great interaction with kids in a live classroom and had so much fun. So that just gives me a lot of joy and inspiration. So it's a lot of fun.
Perfect. Oh, my gosh. So 17 years, that's like so much ground to cover. So let's start off at the beginning. What drew you to want to work in K-12 and education? And what keeps you motivated?
Oh, wow. Good question. What drew me into education? I've actually, for a long time in my career, in a different couple capacities, I've been involved with the educational community, and I just love it. Obviously, I was a student. I was a little bit of a struggling student, and I just see the impact that educators and teachers and kids, for that matter, your friends and peers can have on your trajectory and on your educational process and all that. And so I'm fascinated by that and want to help in that process. I was a kid many years ago, but I still can sympathize and empathize with the kids of today to some degree, maybe not with all the social media and all the stuff going on, but we need our kids to be successful. We need them to do well in school and to move on to the rest of their life and their career and their personal life to be just amazing people. And I think we can help in that process. So it's really exciting. And that does keep me motivated.
Gotcha. That's a perfect description of it. And I often think like that too. Of course, I'm a little bit different in age, but I always say, I don't feel like I was a student that long ago. And I remember those experiences. And so working in K-12 has been such a, relief and blessing for me to just see how we are nurturing that next generation. So,
Yeah, I agree. And in some cases, most of the time, they don't even know who we are. They don't really see us or certainly don't know our names or anything else. But we know, Dominique, that we are impacting these kids. And so it's very rewarding that way. And it keeps me going. And as I said, last week, I had an interaction in a live classroom. They invited me in to speak and show our product in a live classroom. And the kids were so excited. And I was able to engage directly with them. And I mean, that's going to last me for at least a month with that engagement with the kids. So it's a lot of fun.
Gotcha. So, of course, speaking of just what kind of impact is being made for us, Lightspeed, we focus on audio. I'm sure you know better than anyone because you sell it every day. Right. So talk about how you convey to people what impact listening makes to learning when oftentimes that's something that they're not thinking of at all. And how do you kind of convince people to get that message through?
Yeah, good question. My job is not to really convince people. I think our product, number one, is very experiential. So I do my best to place people in a situation where they can experience our product. And it's one thing to talk about it, and we have data sheets and we have information and we have pictures and all of that stuff. But until oftentimes, unless they're in, that is their job, like an audiologist or a speech language pathologist or someone like that, that is their job, and they're involved in that every day. But other people sometimes really don't know the power of instruction, the power of words, the power of distribution of that sound. And you and I know very well, we care about the intelligibility of that sound. And there's actually a wonderful, I think it's a TED Talk, but it's on YouTube, Julian Treasure, who talks about this in a number of ways. But the one that he uses is designing for our ears. So there's a TED Talk or a YouTube video where he gets out and talks about that. And I think the information is very powerful. He kind of specifically shows in the medical community the power of sound and sometimes the negative power of sound, how loud it is in a room as you're recuperating and all of that, and how sound can actually sometimes negatively impact you. But then he steps into the educational realm as well, and he does just a wonderful job of explaining how powerful and diverse sounds are, number one, words are, and then the acoustics within rooms and the even reverberation rates. I won't get into all that stuff, but he does a beautiful job of that. So I would actually direct people to watch that. And you would walk away from that thinking very differently about sound and the impact of sound. And certainly, we specifically focus on the educational area and learning spaces. There's a big thing going on that we need to take another look at and actually see how we can impact that positively, reduce stress in the classroom, help the teachers, which we do in a number of ways. But most importantly, my big passion is helping the kids. And I see it every day. I hear it, I see it, I experience it nearly every day, how we dramatically impact and improve the learning spaces for kids so that they don't have to work so hard to be their best.
So with that, do you have a story that just stands out in your mind about an experience like that where you've literally seen kids being impacted in a way that kind of like blew your mind?
Yeah. And this, boy, I wished I knew this was from Tucson. And this was probably the most impactful. This really did change me. So then there's a long story. I'll do my best to shorten it. But I went into a school, met with the principal. He said, "You know, this seems like a good idea. I kind of get it. Let's put it into one of the classrooms and test it." So in 3 months, they saw their, I hope I get this right, they saw their math scores increase by 15% in this one classroom. And their English test scores increased by, I think it's 30%, just slightly over 30%. And he was flabbergasted, as was I, quite honestly. But he said, "Hey, can you come back out here? I want to do a little more stuff. I want to talk to these kids and the teacher and see what happened," because this was only tested in one classroom. So we went into the classroom, and he did the most amazing thing. It was just perfect. He asked the kids, "Do you like this system, our instructional audio system?" All of the students raised their hand positively and all said some form of, "I can hear the teacher, I can hear my buddies and my peers and everything else." Well, one little girl, and I'm trying to remember if I think it was a third grade classroom, but one little girl did not raise her hand. And so he saved her for last. And so he'd gone through all the kids and they all spoke positively about it. And it was so exciting and all that. And it was just reaffirming to both him and me. Then he got to this little girl and he said, "You did not raise your hand. Do you not like this system?" And she goes, "No, I don't like this system. In fact, I hate this system." And he said, "Why? Why do you hate this system? Everyone else said they loved it so much." She goes, "I hate it because I cannot escape the teacher's voice." And so he looked at me, and nice to say they've outfitted the rest of their school with the systems, because that's exactly what we're trying to do. We make it so the kids can't escape the great lessons that are happening in the classroom, because there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of activity, and it's not just noise from the classroom, it's all the ambient and white noises from the entire school. I mean, it could even be, I've been in classrooms when a plane comes overhead, a train comes by, cars are honking, kids are sometimes not happily, but happily screaming in the hallway, or they're at gym, or they're at lunch, or something else. Well, we are getting the instruction over all of that ambient or white noise so that the kids that are in class are able to hear that instruction, hear it fully, and more importantly, hear it intelligibly. So that's probably my, and I've got a number like that, but that's probably the best one I have.
Gotcha. So one of the things I was thinking through is, this was a perfect example of just how we work as far as like the pilot program and getting people to kind of, just test out the solution and see what works for them, right? But there are oftentimes where people will love our solution, but truly do not have the budget to make those things happen. So, in being an account executive, is there a situation that you're familiar with where someone has used, unique funding or leaned into some other resource in order to make instructional audio come to life in their district?
And I hear that a lot, as you might guess. Hey, Pat, we have no funding, limited funding. I literally, and this is probably a few months ago now, several months ago now, I was in a meeting with a number of people. One was an audiologist, one was the director of special education for this district, and she came in and said, Pat, literally, we love your product. We'd love to get it everywhere. But I literally just came from a meeting and they told me my budget is zero. I have no more money. So while we can sit here and talk and chat and whatever, just know we have no more money to make these purchases. Well, we kind of talked about if people get the power of the message and the power of what instructional audio offers teachers and kids in the classroom, I kind of say, they always find the money. Because if they have the idea and the imagination that we are impacting kids and teachers, they will find the money. Now, there's numerous ways to do that. I mean, the federal government has provided a lot of money to make a lot of changes, including instructional audio, into the classroom and into schools and districts. But there's also PTOs, there's PTAs. In this one meeting that I was in, where the director told me she had no money, the audiologist, as we kept talking, she goes, well, I know a group, a local group, and this is in Arizona, where they fund stuff like this. So I'm going to reach out to them and see if they might be able to and willing to fund this if we give them a business case as to how impactful this is in the classroom. Well, about a month ago, it came through. The order came through for I think it was nearly 50 systems, which is a great investment. I realize that, but they did get it, so they're starting to outfit their district, and that came from a funding source that none of us would have thought of. But when you put imagination and curiosity and some amazing thinking and brains and people together, I have no doubt the money will be found. It truly will.
Believe that's true, and that's so great to hear. There's not just this oneness to it because, of course, we know budgets differ across many different districts. So, one district can quote unquote have the budget, and then there's a whole other district that's like, we haven't had new things
That's
in
right.
years. So, just to hear how people are being innovative with getting this funding is like, I think, good for other people to know. Just in
Yeah, and I think I love your word, innovative. There's three words that I would say, certainly on our conversation this morning. I love the word innovative. I love the word imagination. I love the word curiosity. I think if you put those three things together, not only in life, but in education, I don't believe there's nothing that we can't do. If it's a good idea that really does need to be implemented within a school or district, if you put those three words together, there's nothing stopping people. I truly believe that. I've seen that in my 17 years. I've seen that over and over and over again. So that's what I would, if people take away nothing from our talk today, I hope they take away those three words. I've got one other one that I'll add, but innovation, curiosity, and imagination. And you already know this, Dominique. I have a favorite word, and I ask this a lot of people, and that is, what is the root word of education? The root word of education is educe, EDUCE. And educe means simply to draw forth from. So I say to all educators, all people, educe from yourself, educe from your colleagues, educe from your organization, educe from the kids and the staff and the leaders and the community. And with those now four words put together, truly, there is nothing that can stop us. I really believe that.
I love it, Pat. I wonder,
Yeah.
were you going to bring up educe on the call?
Yeah, you knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming. I love when
Yeah.
you say that, and I feel like you would think that working in the education space, it probably would come up more often. But I feel like coming to Lightspeed, that was the first time I heard it from you.
Right. And I actually heard it from a very dear audiologist friend. He had mentioned it to me and to us, and I kind of took it and run with it. I love that word. I think it's a very powerful word. And if we fix our mind on that, educe the best from people, from ourselves, truly, there's nothing that can stop us. And so I love that word. I've asked that question of people, I'm going to say almost thousands of times. And I've had two people accurately say, oh, I know what that word is. Here's what it is. They were accurate in their definition. Only two people. And I bet I've asked that at least 1,000 times. But people love it. When they hear it, it plants a seed in their brain and they say, that's awesome. I am going to focus on that. And I think we do need to focus on that. And I think we can change what's going on in our schools and classrooms very positively if we educe.
Gotcha. So I know you have so many districts that you work with. But thinking of the word educe and being innovative and all these different things, is there a district or is there a story that comes to mind about how a district is kind of like drawing forth from the technology and from the leadership that they have in their school to do something just great, like do something
Yeah.
new? I mean, we're talking about beyond just the, teaching and test scores, just something amazing.
Yeah. You're kind of putting me on the spot a little bit because that's meaning, and I don't want to not mention because there's so many amazing folks that I work with, administrators, teaching staff, and kids too, whenever I can. I love to interact with the kids. But one district really is standing out to me right now, and that's St. Vrain Valley School District here in Colorado, just a little bit north of Denver. Superintendent Don Haddad and his team, they're educing like I've not quite experienced. And here's what I would say with that. And so I'm hesitant, although I did, mention them specifically, but I just think they're doing such great work up there. And so my thought on that is if they can do it, it can be done. And so I would encourage districts, not only in my territory for sure, across this country, to maybe look to St. Vrain a little bit, but just take educe what they're trying to do to another level, draw forth to another level. And I think if you think, going back to the four words that we now have in this innovation, curiosity, imagination, and educe, if you powerfully place those into the brain of superintendents and administrators and teaching staff, and even the kids in the community, the parents, I think great questions will be asked, and I think even better answers will come forth from those questions. So I would encourage and even challenge schools and districts to just not be okay with standard, not be okay with mediocrity. And I'm encouraging them and challenging them to step up to another level, to be miraculous, to be stupendous. And I know it's possible. As I said, St. Vrain's doing it. It can be done. It's being done. It can be done. And we set the bar higher and we can attain those things. So it's a lot of fun.
I love it. I love
Yeah.
it. And that's exciting. And I knew it was going to be so hard for you to pick just one.
Yeah, that's a little bit unfair of you to do that to me, but it's okay.
Okay. Thank you for the forgiveness. So
Yeah.
I want to ask you a couple more questions before we get to our really fun questions, because Pat, I
Okay.
could talk to you all day. So, of course, in everything that we do here at Lightspeed, specifically, we lean into our core values. So this question is a little bit two-pronged for someone like you that works, externally with customers, but also internally with each of us. What core value kind of stands out to you the most as, your core value, I don't know what to call it, like linchpin. Like, what's the one that you just feel like this makes me effective internally and externally with what I do?
Boy, that's good. I wish you would have set me up with that question a little bit differently. What is my linchpin? I mean, are you saying corporately or personally?
Both, either.
Both. Either.
We have
Boy.
lots. So I just always think through like hearing what people have to say about core values and how they feel about them, because I know for me, it's a really big part of why I have wanted to stay at Lightspeed. And I know with your experience, of course, 17 years, I'm sure that has to play a role.
Well, I think I have a life-driving mission statement. I would encourage everyone to determine a life-driving mission statement. Mine is inspire or be inspired. So that literally is my phone screensaver. So I however many times I see that a day, that is it. And I'll be honest, Dominique, I don't all the time inspire, and I'm not always being inspired by people. But if that is my intention, which it is, it happens much more often than not. And so that's really what I want to do. But I've got so many, you know me well enough. I've got quote books. In fact, I've got a quote book right here, just full of quotes and thoughts and statements. So I've got a lot of stuff, but I think that's the one that I try to focus on. If I can inspire people and be inspired by people, good things will happen. And like I say, it doesn't always work out that way, but that's my intention. And I think when you place intent on something, that is what you focus on. And then that is what happens more often than not. And the other thing for me is I try to be, and I'm working on this daily, I try to be very congruent in my life. Do what I say when I say. I have made mistakes, to be sure, but again, that's my intent. I want to be as congruent as I possibly can. And sometimes that makes for challenging and fun conversations, even with myself sometimes, but certainly with others. But I see that that's what we're trying to do. And we're trying to really make an impact in the educational community in our little niche of the world. We can't do everything, we can't be everything to everyone. But in our little niche of the world, we're quite impactful, and that is very rewarding. So, a lot of fun.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So last question, is kind of a two-parter, and it's just about K-12 trends and the future of education. So what do you see that is currently trending right now? And then how do you see what is currently trending right now impacting the future of education?
Wow, that is a really big question. Boy, you are stumping me today. You're making me think. Well, I think all the talk, it's a very difficult question, but it's somewhat easy to answer, and I'm cheating a little bit. And I know we don't cheat in school. So any kids that are listening, cheating is bad. So but I think the quick answer in today's environment is AI. I think AI is revolutionizing what's going on within schools. I hear a lot of conversation about this. I think that is one, and safety and security is always a big thing. It has been. I'm a Columbine High School graduate, and so obviously a lot of stuff resulted from Columbine in that situation. But safety and security is obviously always top of mind. But I'm hearing a lot of conversations around AI and how that is changing and impacting instruction and learning and the class space and all of that. And I would like to say and sound somewhat brilliant or imaginative or whatever. And I don't think I have the brain power to fully do that now, what the next 5 to 10 years and beyond would bring. But I think we're going to see changes unlike anything we've ever seen, not only in the educational community. I think AI is going to re revolutionize everything, sadly, in some maybe not positive ways. But I think if used with the words we have now said in this discussion, imagination, innovation, curiosity, and educing, I think AI is going to revolutionize what's happening in the next number of years to come and beyond.
I love it. I love that answer. And obviously, you are not the first person that has answered that way for this question in particular, because it is such a conversation, like it's a conversation you cannot escape about what will be the impact. course, we have people going towards the positive and we have people going towards the negative, and I think all of it is worth the consideration. I think it's an interesting time though. As a kind of fan of AI, I can definitely see ways that it can help in filling gaps. There's a lot we try to do thinking through our technology to create solutions for people. And so I feel like it's kind of filling that gap too with like a solution for a certain thing. So we'll see.
In fact, it wasn't this year's EnEdCo because we had ISTE here in Denver. But previous years in EnEdCo, I literally was helping with the audio at a little meeting that gathering that they had, and the topic was AI. And in that meeting, I mean, there were people saying, "Nope, no way, not bringing in AI, not touching it." Others going, "No, we need to embrace this and challenge ourselves and see how we can best utilize it." And so, I mean, right there in that group, and there were probably, I don't know, 30 people in that group, and you got a very diverse thinking and thought process around AI. And I think that's going to continue for a while until we kind of figure it out and try to manage this as best we can. But I think that's going to be a big piece.
Agreed. So now we get to my favorite part of the podcast before we
Uh-oh.
begin. So I have to ask you two fun questions. These questions, of course, are just geared to see what you're thinking. So the first one is related specifically to the K-12 space, and that is if you could remove any barrier in the world, from the learning environment, what would it be?
Any barrier in the learning environment? Oh, it just came to me. Fear. Fear. I think fear holds us all back. I was not the best performing student in my younger years. And I can actually specific, I mean, there were several, but there was one in particular time at Columbine High School with he happened to be the golf coach. I was on the golf team for a while. Merle Wickland, actually, I won't get into it because it's a little bit of a lengthy story. It's not embarrassing or anything else, but he did something for me that really, really clicked my brain to embrace fear a little bit and challenge myself and learn at a much better level. And I think that really helped change me. And that was in high school. And so I was struggling up to those years a little bit. And he helped me reduce that fear. I can't say eliminate. I think all of us carry some amount of fear about some kind of thing, but dramatically reduce it, step into it, face your fear, and be bold in what you try to do. And I loved, and I said it earlier in our discussion, but intentional, be intentional. And I think that helps you remove or maybe even eliminate the fear prospect. But that will help you figure out where you're trying to go and be bold enough to take the steps needed to get where you'd like to go. So fear, that would be it.
That. And that is a really good one. That's new.
Hey, good.
That's
Because
a
you
really
reduced
good
with
one.
me.
Yes. I think about that all the time because I think there's no way to like wiggle out of being fearful about things. We do kind of let fear hinder us from moving forward, and we need to like move forward. So all these great things can happen. So yeah.
And I would
I
even add,
love.
I won't tell this whole experience, but I did have a fearful experience not that long ago, by the way. And I just sat there and went through the experience, let the fear and anxiety kind of wash over me, but also just kind of relied on God that I'm going to get through this. And I'm actually a little thankful. It wasn't fun while I was going through it, I've got to be honest. And I'll just give a little teaser on this. So it was a traveling thing. I had a little automobile incident, not an accident, but just an incident that kind of put a little fear into me a little bit. But we worked through it, got through the anxiety, figured it out. I'm here to talk to you today. So I'm happy about that. And so it's good. It's good.
Last question. What is your favorite sound in the entire world?
Favorite sound. Oh, I can I you said favorite. I mean, that means one, and I'm big on the one. You can even ask David Solomon. I'm big on the one thing, but can I say two?
Okay, give me two.
Okay. All right. My wife and I, Kim, we have three grandsons. To listen to them chatter and just be young boys having fun is a delight. And so being a grandparent and hearing the grandsons is wonderful. If you ever get the chance, you haven't yet. I hope you do. If you get the chance to meet my wife, she probably has, I'm going through my brain real quick. She may have the greatest laugh of anyone I've ever met. And she laughs easily and she laughs at my silly jokes and all the stuff. But her laugh is probably number one, maybe even better than the grandson's. But those two.
I love it. I love it. Two amazing sounds. Of course, family first. I love that. We have so many people that have answered this question, and family is always a big part of it. So I love that.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Pat. This has been so good.
Absolutely.
It's been like
This
talking
is,
to an old friend. Like,
I love it. I can't even believe our time is up.
I mean, I could literally do this with you all day.
All day long.
But I
But then I
want
wouldn't sell
to.
anything, and then I wouldn't. That would create a whole nother problem. So we'll save that for another day.
Right. Well, thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you, Dominique. Have a wonderful day. Educe the excellence.
Will do.
That's all for today's Active Listener. Thanks for tuning in. Share your comments on this episode on our Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn social media pages. You can visit our website at lightspeed-tech.com to learn more about our mission to ensure every student hears every word. And subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Until next time, let your listening be as active as your learning.